For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Get your fix on the Morning Spiel right here on 103.3 WKMZ.
This is the Morning Spiel presented by Royal Water Treatment on 103.3 WKMZ. Alex Wiederspiel here with you, joining you from a remote, distant location today. I'm using my home studio today. Mike Osti is on the, I want to say the line, it's more like on the internet. I don't know what you would say, on the Zoom line. Mike, what's going on, man? How are you?
Not much, man. Yeah, we got microphones in action. We're doing this on a...
It's Zoom, been a minute
on the phone. It's
yeah,
it's been a minute on this show. Yeah, with different things going on the station, and then just different things to cover for me. It has been a minute, and a lot has gone on. We've missed some things.
Yeah, we haven't had a chance.
Touching on in the show. Yeah,
yeah. I've not been missing it. No, yeah, we haven't. So your regular appearance would have been, I think, 2 weeks ago. So we haven't really had a chance to talk about the combine. Haven't had a chance to really talk about. Right. Neil Brown's contract extension. Certainly haven't had a chance to talk about, spring football. And I don't want to, we don't have to cover all of that. But real quick, why don't we start there with the Brown contract extension? Because it was interesting. I think it was interesting the way it was reported. Because I do think, you know, like, look, we've reached a point where there are some folks who simply do not like Neil Brown. And I understand that. But I actually thought it was interesting the way it was kind of reported initially. You know, you're thinking like, oh, I wonder what's going on here. And it kind of felt like like a little bit of a essentially it was a pay cut.
It was. So it was initially received by fans, even the rumblings of a couple days before and rumors that he was going to get an extension. It was received by fans of, okay, one good year, maybe I'm trusting the climb a little bit more than I was before, but it did take him 5 years to get this program going, 9 wins, let's try to build on that and get 10. The Big 12 shifting, WVU is the historic program in the conference now, there's still a lot of things to improve upon, but a lot of players are coming back, maybe they could contend for the conference title that they haven't been able to contend for since joining the Big 12, let's do that. Before locking ourselves into more of the Neil Brown business. That was the initial reaction. But then, as myself and others tried to kind of explain what was going on with this extension, why the extension happened, and the inner workings of the extension, which absolutely equals a pay cut for Brown and arguably a secure situation that went now to not as secure. So then I feel like there were more people that were coming around to at least understanding it, but there are still some that are not fully bought in. And I do truly believe the people that are not for this extension, Alex, maybe are too busy. Maybe they just have a preconceived notion about Neil Brown, but they do not understand the contract. So as you alluded to, he is taking a pay cut. It's $400,000. He's taking a pay cut. Now, people may say, well, a millionaire plus taking a $400,000 pay cut, you know, I'm not going to cry for you. Sure, his kids are going to live the same life. He's still a wealthy man. It's not going to affect them personally, which might be why he decided on that number. And if they said take a $2 million pay cut, he wouldn't want to do it. I get all that. But you have to understand, this is a coach that did just win 9 games. He's not coming off of the 5-7 season. He's coming off of a season in which they won 9 games. They won a bowl game. They do believe now they can contend for the Big 12. They did lock up most of the players. Green has another year. Jaheim White's coming back for more, etc. It's not common for a coach to win 9 games, even if it's in year 5 or year 1 or 2, to then take a pay cut of any kind. And a $400,000 pay cut given in a year is actually a pretty big deal when everybody makes millions of dollars in that business. He's making market value for coaching a major brand in a major conference. He had a quality resume before coming to WVU, even though it wasn't at a power school and was at a group of 5. And he's taking a pay cut. He didn't have to do that. He could have said, no, I won 9. This is the contract. You gave it to me. You agreed to it. Maybe it was a past regime. Maybe it wasn't Ren Baker. Maybe you shouldn't have. You did. Here's what it is, or I'm going to look elsewhere. And who knows what his market value would be elsewhere. But he did take a pay cut. And then separately from that, which I think is the kicker, which should actually make people that are not fully bought into Brown that want to see more excited about this, because Alex, he changed the buyout. So part of the reason why, and many believe this, that he was brought back even when Shane Lyons was dismissed for another season and to try in year 5 when they missed a bowl, which is well below expectations for the Mountaineers, is because the buyout was crazy. It was one of the higher buyouts in the entire country, and he obviously does not have a resume with national championship-level coaches that had Jimbo Fisher-level buyouts. That's what we're talking about for Brown of a season ago. Jimbo has a natty. Brown does not. It was wild. Now, Brown changed the buyout to where if he would get fired this coming season, middle, end, instead of getting 100% of the buyout, he only gets 75 now. So he's taking less per year and taking less of a cut on a buyout. I'd imagine if I'm his agent, I would say, look, man, you're in your 40s. You're not in your 60s. We got a sweetheart deal. It's still a major program. You just won. Ride it out. They're not going to fire you because you just won 9. The team's coming back. The players like you. We don't got to do this to be nice. He did this to allow more money to be spent in whatever bank you want to go off of, whether it be the athletic department or the NIL, and to bring in more players to go to the portal again in the future, to keep who they have now, to compete in a very money-driven new climate of college football where they feel they can compete. They didn't have to do this. So when you understand all of that, I don't fully get how anyone could have a problem with the buyout unless maybe you're Neil Brown's wife. Maybe if I'm his family member, I might be like, what are we doing here? We're kind of now vulnerable. But the buyout, the contract, the annual salary. And last point on this, Alex, yes, because I know I've had a lot of comeback to, sure, Mike, you're correct. But now they're really screwed if it's 2027 because all of that then increases. There is a raise involved, all of that. Let me put you this way. If Neil Brown is coaching the West Virginia Mountaineers in 2027, and you and I, on whatever outlet we're working for, are discussing it, I am very comfortable to say Neil Brown has won some football games.
Yeah, things have gone.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Very right at that point, right? Like, right, like if he's coaching 3 years from now at this program, things have gone very right.
Sure. Like, if he has won a conference title, if he has maybe had a playoff appearance, as it is expanding and maybe going to expand again, yeah. We already have a deal that it's going to expand again. You're going to 14. Who knows if they go to 16? They clearly can do that within a year. So if they're in the playoff, they win a conference, if they win 10 games, even if they win 9, if it's clicking, 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 and you're having success, then honestly, the raise they gave him now probably won't be enough, and he might come back to them and say, I need more money. And when you look at market value and where it will go in 3 years, if you get a Big 12 championship or a playoff appearance out of it. So,
for the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At that point, what are we arguing about? It probably is going very, very well. And trust me, if they win 5 games next year, it doesn't matter what went on in 2023 and how much they prove people wrong and how much Ren Baker likes Neil Brown, and he does, they will fire Neil Brown if they don't make a bowl game again, and they can, and now it's easier to do so.
Let's talk about Zach Frazier. So NFL draft is still a little ways away, but things are starting to crystallize. We've now gone through Senior Bowl, gone through Combine, gone through a pretty significant portion of the pre-draft process. We actually are kind of now entering into what's really the silly season. I've always hated how long the draft process is. I understand, you know, Pro Bowls and, or I'm sorry, not Pro Bowls, the senior days, needing to get guys out there, you know, getting scouts to all these different places. I totally understand it. It's just, it can be a lot if you like the draft, it can be a lot. But so to that point, you know, you kind of look at get a feel for where Zach Frazier is. I was looking at the Athletic's consensus board right now. He's listed as a number 44 on the big board there. I think Daniel Jeremiah had him as high as number 32. And I feel like Zach Frazier has now reached territory of, if someone likes him enough, this guy might actually be a first round pick. It's not a lock. I wouldn't even necessarily bet on it. I don't know if you flipped a coin like three out of four times, he might not get drafted in the first round. But I think we're reaching that point where if someone likes him enough, I think there's a real shot he goes. I'm curious what you're hearing on the Zach Frazier front, because obviously he's going to go down as one of the best Mountaineer linemen and Mountaineer players ever at this point. Yeah. And right now he's really potentially going to make a name for himself coming up here in just a few weeks.
In all honesty, and I told you this last time we spoke, that we almost could have pre-recorded it, because I'm hearing some of the same things now and then some that I heard about Zach Frazier months ago. And it's athletic, very intelligent, and very mature. And Alex, if you're drafting a center, those are the three things you want in 2024 and beyond. You want an athlete that can't... They look like they're overweight, but no, you got to be in shape. There's a way of being in shape and be athletic, even at that build. He is a former wrestler. He's built like a wrestler, in all honesty. He even talks about that, and that being an advantage hands-wise, knowing where to place himself, and even in one-on-ones with the opposing line after the play is snapped. So that's a big deal, the athleticism that Zach Frazier possesses. The fact that he's very, very intelligent, and I had coaches rave around me about Zach Frazier, and I talked to you about this before, the last play as a Mountaineer. Zach Frazier brought this up in our media session at the Combine. I was there in Indy, and he had a delay because there were actually a lot of teams that were making sure he was healthy. He was 2 hours late. We're standing around. It was a 30-person scrum with national media, and I'll be up front, Alex, that went down to about a 5-person situation because a lot of people left. It was over 2 hours, and he then said it was because they were really checking in my medicals. So the only ding is the medicals. But he kept talking about how everyone would bring up that last play, a heads-up play. He got himself off the field. We know how serious the injury was now. Avoided the 10-second runoff. Without that, they maybe don't come back. Maybe they lose to Baylor. The season would be way worse because that would have been a really bad loss going into a bowl. Who knows the perception of Brown? Who knows the contract of Brown? Who knows the rest of the team? That was a big deal play that could send the program on a course to have success in the future here. So that intelligence, knowing the awareness of the field, and then also being mature. Early 20s, but married, mature, a family man already, grew up in the region, etc. He's somebody that feels like he's ready. He's been preparing to be a pro for years now. He's ready for that moment. And it's very unlikely that a center, certainly two, are first rounders, because the issue for Zach Frazier is Powers Johnson is still generally number one on everyone's big board. So anytime I talk to a draft quote-unquote expert or insider on my show or just in general conversation, to be fair, usually Zach Frazier's number two or three. Usually he's now moved to it almost as unanimously two, but Powers Johnson's one. And it's just the pure athleticism. Some think Zach Frazier's hands aren't long enough or his arms aren't long enough. It's the arm length and it could hold him back. So those type of things. So if he's number two on the board, you're hard-pressed to see two centers taken in the first round. It is a rare thing. What I will say, and this goes to even the market that I cover with the Steelers being heavily connected to Zach Frazier all the time. They obviously need a center, Alex. They released a center a couple months ago. They really don't have a starting center as we're speaking right now, and the market free agency-wise is very dry. So now, based on what they've done receiver-wise, they will draft one with the Deontay Johnson trade. Obviously, the quarterback shakeup. There are many that believe that they are slam dunk taking a center in those first two rounds. I know they love Zach Frazier, and there's other teams that love him too. But I will tell you, with people projecting him 41, 39, etc., Steelers at 51, they may not want him or take him in the first round. Maybe they go Power Johnson and avoid Frazier altogether. But if Power Johnson is gone or they don't go center in the first round, in order to get Zach Frazier, you got to trade up. He will not be there at 50 plus. That'll be hard. But the Eagles, the Bears, the Niners, the Giants, there's a myriad of other teams that have talked to him a lot. The Cowboys have talked to him a lot.
Is it fair to say that you don't think the Steelers would pull the trigger at 20 on Frazier, but that they would, say, make a move if they felt like they could, if they needed to get back into the first round?
It might be, do you draft best overall player, or do you go with a gut feeling? And honestly, Alex, we've seen this over the years with the Steelers. They did this with Joey Porter Jr. when he kind of was sliding and they just had a gut feeling. They did this with Kenny Pickett when no other quarterback was taken in the first round. He was the guy. They said they loved him. Obviously, that love has dissipated now and he's no longer there. But if Mike Tomlin and the Steelers fall in love with a player, and a lot of the times they do kind of, you know, tip their hand a little bit, even though they think they're not. And this is Omar Khan. This is a different regime than when Kevin Colbert was there. They may just say, you know what, he's our guy. He's number two on the board. Power Johnson's there, but we're going Frazier and we're comfortable. They may do that because I think Frazier's bust proof. I've heard that from a lot. I think you're looking at a 10-year career. Who knows if it's Hall of Fame or not, but he's not going to mess it up. He's going to work hard. He's very smart. He can learn everything. He can deal with a rookie. He can deal with an RPO quarterback to an air raid quarterback. Think of the quarterbacks he had at West Virginia that helps him in the pros of JT Daniels, Jared Daigie, and Garrett Green. These are three very, very different types of QBs. So maybe they would do that. But if I'm just speaking logically here, Howard Johnson should probably still be there around when the Steelers pick. Maybe he's gone before them. Maybe he could be. He's high teens in the 20s. That's usually when the first center is taken. If Powers Johnson is there, Alex, and the Steelers want a center so bad, they may have to take him. He is the top center on pretty much everyone's board. And if they do, then obviously they're not getting Frazier. But if they just love, if they're comfortable with Frazier, you know what they may do if they want to be funky? They may take another position of need, wide receiver, corner, etc., D-line, in the first round, and then trade up for Frazier in the second, because I think he'll still be there. They could do that and get both. That could be a thing, too.
Yeah, I'm very curious to see where this is going to land, because obviously, I mean, look, it's been, what was the last WVU first-round pick? It's probably been, what, Carl Joseph? It's been a minute.
Probably first round, yeah. I mean, obviously, Dante Stills did get drafted last year, but that was seventh round. Likely, Frazier's probably the only drafted player this year. I mean, Doug Nesser didn't even get invited to the combine. Bishop had a great All-American year. I think it was kind of crappy he didn't get a combine invite. I would have loved to speak to him there.
Do you think he gets drafted? Do you think Beanie gets drafted?
Before not getting the combine invite, I would have told you three to five in terms of third to fifth round. I thought his stock was just soaring up the charts after the great year he just had, and he's also a personality. Maybe people don't like that. I don't know. I don't know how he didn't get the combine invite when he was at the Shrine Bowl and was a consensus All-American. I mean, he did everything he could have to do. So maybe someone takes a late-round flyer, but it's a deep position. Secondary is deep this year. Maybe that's why he didn't even get invited, because they only want to take so many. That'll hurt him. But Nestor, I think, is definitely probably not getting drafted. But they're both going to get camp invites if they aren't drafted. But Frazier, I cannot imagine Frazier's getting out of the second round. Like, if we when we talked 6 months ago, it was maybe third round, things like that were brought up. No. His stock is through the roof if he is healthy. So I would think worst case for Frazier, he is mid-second round. And if you have two centers in the first round, or a team trades up for you early second round, that's historic for the center position, and that would be a compliment to Frazier. But for any non-Steeler fan, any teams outside of the Steelers, he did tell me he talked a lot with the Dallas Cowboys. So they could be another team to watch out for. They obviously do really – they historically never do anything in free agency since Deion, really, but they move in the draft. So who knows? I mean, there are a lot of teams that have talked with him outside of the Steelers, but that's always a team to watch. And I don't think they can sit around for that second round pick and just.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional grade industrial supplies. Count on real time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Be happy there. They're gonna have to move for him, probably.
And we know Dallas has been making some changes along that offensive line as well, not bringing back Tyron Smith, for example. Obviously a different position, right. but worth noting as well. It looks like they might have a little bit of a hole on the interior line as well, next to Zach Martin. So that's worth keeping an eye on. That could be an interesting situation there. Okay, so let's before I let you go, I do want to spend a little bit more time on two topics. Mountaineer football related, and then one Mountaineer basketball related, and then I'll let you get out of here, Mike. But on the Mountaineer football side of things, getting closer and closer, I mean, essentially to the start of spring football. And I guess the big thing is obviously, look, it's extraordinarily early. What's the hope? What do you try to accomplish right now? What do you try to accomplish in March? Is it just stay healthy? What's the goal going into this month and next month?
Well, honestly, there's less to accomplish this year than any of the last 3 years. I mean, and last year even, this was the start of a quarterback competition. A couple of years ago, people thought it was kind of a charade because JT's brought in and he's going to start. But Neil Brown, would, in his opening press conference, would give you this is the start of a quarterback competition. They also, separate from that, they had competition across the board, position to position. However, now, even though there are still some positions you need to figure out, maybe linebacker is one. You were kind of – Ben Cutter wasn't really ready but was thrown in there for a lot of big games last year with injuries. That obviously could be a position they're still looking at. There are positions to figure things out. But last year, they were even trying out kick returner, that they were looking new there. New players are coming aboard, like Colt Taylor and Beanie Bishop. You got to acclimate them. A high recruit in Rodney Gallagher was coming aboard, getting on campus, et cetera. He actually wouldn't get there till late, but Traylon Ray was getting there. That's not the case this year. I mean, in all honesty, this is why Neil Brown believes they can win the conference. They have now a chemistry. They are bringing back most of the core. So what they're now trying to accomplish here is to continue to build chemistry between Green and his receivers, to continue to improve with the running back position and get C.J. Donaldson back to where he was a couple years ago, to improve defensively, to fix any gaps that are in the secondary when you're losing Beanie. The defensive line and the offensive line, trying to make sure the offensive line can gel and mature without their anchors of Zach Frazier and Doug Nestor, who I still think that can be a great offensive line. A lot of those other players played last year because of injury. They were a great group, not just those two. But it's kind of gelling all of that and acclimating the coaching staff as well. They now have a new quarterbacks coach in Tyler Allen, or at least the promotion. He wasn't doing it last year with Sean Regan moving on. Dante Wright has moved on as well to be defensive coordinator at Troy. So minor coaching moves, but not major ones. I mean, the coordinator positions are still where they were. That was a situation that was promotion a year ago with Chad Scott. A lot had to be started to get everyone underway last year at this point. Now it's almost, we got to continue the momentum. So I would say continuing the momentum, making sure no one gets hurt, making sure they continue to build on what they had. They build the chemistry, and you do.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have the team kind of get back together from a long offseason and get back in the mindset of football. You get to fall camp, it'll be more of like, we're hitting, it's plays, we're working on plays, we're looking at our opponent for week one. Neil Brown has said this, they are not looking at any opponent right now. It is all about their team, but most of the core are returning players rather than position battles like a year ago.
All right, let's wrap here. We have Mike Osti with us, the managing editor of WV Sports Now, and of course the host of the Mike Drop podcast. And I saved the best for last. But so you guys recently had a poll up on your website asking if folks thought
much
Bob
to
Huggins
my chagrin would ever coach give in and allow the poll eventually
at West Virginia. And 73% of participants, I think, said no, which I think is
okay.
But I tell you what, it is kind of crazy to me that 27% said yes, because my suspicion is that 27%, that's not just that they believe it's going to happen, but there's also some wishful thinking there.
Sure.
as well. I guess I'm curious. I think most of us who follow this are well aware by now of the comments Ken Kendrick made, and that was a clear message and kind of a sign that I think everyone can be clear that Bob Huggins is not coming back to West Virginia anytime soon, if ever. But I am kind of curious. I'm going to take the temperature a little bit of the athletic department, take the temperature a little bit of just the program and the fan base as a whole right now. Is this an issue? Is this a wedge issue right now among the West Virginia fan base? Is this a problem? This sort of kind of weird might be the wrong term for it, but this ingrained desire to see Bob Huggins return when it feels like there's no shot of that happening. Is that something festering in the fan base, or is that just kind of, you know, folks dealing in some wishful thinking that they wish they could get their hero back and kind of change the ending?
And I will say, as much as the question is kind of funny and some may roll their eyes on it, I have had fans, colleagues, etc., ask, whether it be colleague group texts or even fans asking me if I think that the certain social media activity, maybe that's a small minority, but the vocal small minority of fans that want Huggins back will actually affect the coaching search. That is a discussion. Like if you're Dusty May, or you're a coach out there thinking about the Mountaineers, or they're calling you, do you browse Twitter and then see, man, do I want to deal with this fan base? If I don't go undefeated here, they're gonna keep harkening back for Bob Huggins. You know, the clock is ticking for me to go to a Final Four like he did here. So that is a thing that exists. But in all honesty, Alex, I cannot imagine that Ren Baker or anybody involved in the athletic department, the brass of the athletic department involved in the search, is really worrying about it. I mean, again, if I was pleasantly surprised by the poll results, to be honest with you, when you read them there, I hadn't fully looked. I thought it would even be a little bit more, maybe, you know, 60% no and more closer to 60-40 than what it is. So yeah, a little under 30%. That seems high for something that has a 0% chance of happening. And even Bob Huggins talked about it when he was on KDK with Bob Pompiani, my colleague in Pittsburgh, that he knows it's not an option. Like, I have no choice but to move on, even though I'd like to be the coach at West Virginia. The leadership's not going to change. Gordon Gee's moving on in a year, but he's not leaving the university altogether. Ren Baker's going nowhere unless he takes another job, but it does not appear he's going to. So it's not going to happen. So it's a small minority. I don't think it's a big, giant deal. I think there's enough pluses. Like, if I'm looking at the West Virginia job as a prospective coach, The NIL money is increasing. If I see think about this. They named a baseball stadium after a donor. I understand he's the owner of the Arizona Diamondbacks. I understand he's very distinguished. I'm not saying he doesn't deserve it. He's done a lot of great things for the university. That is a giant, glaring sign to everybody. Money came in, guys. Money came in. They're not doing it for free, even though they like them. So there is an NIL bank there that has been built up. They wouldn't have kept those football players. They wouldn't have been able to retool the roster time and time again. The facilities are what they are. They're top notch. The program usually is a tournament team. There is success of Final Fours, Elite Eights, Sweet Sixteens, things like that to harken back from. The last two coaches before Iowa are Hall of Famers. Again, it's in the best conference in the country, national prestige. You're on national TV a lot of the time. There's a big, wild fan base all over the world rooting for the Mountaineers. So there are things to want to be there and want to be the West Virginia coach. There are reasons to come. It won't be an easy search, no. But I think one advantage I will give the Mountaineers on a serious tip here, if you've noticed, if you're following the carousel like we are covering it, Ohio State decided to re-up with their interim. Like, we did a ranking. I don't know if you saw us on the site. We ranked the West Virginia job very fairly. I think it's three or four right now in terms of open jobs. This was 2 weeks ago. It included Louisville, Ohio State, Michigan, etc. West Virginia was right below them, okay? Michigan decided to re-up with their interim. Indiana, they're continuing on with Woodson there. Dusty May, that's the job he publicly said he's always dreamed of. That's not open for him. He either stays at FAU or he's not getting that for a year, etc. Louisville, a lot of these programs are either locked into rumors and it really feels like they're going in one way, or they decided to go a course of keeping a guy, or they hired somebody new. So with that said, the Mountaineer job's soaring up the charts in terms of now open jobs that are legit open. And you know, there are a myriad of guys that could be hired here. We have it all on the site. We've been covering it every day, every hour, really. But I don't think the fans wanting Huggins, which is a natural thing. Like, yes, there's tons of drama involved. But that works in sports, Alex. It's very hard. It's easier to replace the guy that replaced the guy than replace the guy. Mm-hmm. So maybe the glass half full take here is, okay, it's still all this guy hire is always going to be viewed as the guy that replaces Huggins. I get it. But literally speaking, this guy is replacing Eilert, even though he was an interim, off a really bad year that's arguably the worst year in program history. So maybe that's a little cushion landing that, okay, if I can go from 9 wins to 17 and then go, you know, move it up from there, that it'll look better than if you're just coming in for Huggins. The last 5 years of Huggins were not as great as the first decade, let's be honest, despite the transfer class coming in and despite the recent tournaments. So again, I think there's reason why there can be optimism for the future of this program. They do need to get this hire right, like they did 20 years ago. The other worst year was 2002, won 8 games. A couple years later, they're in the Elite Eight. It's because they hired the right guy on John Beilein, even though he didn't have a big resume prior. So if they do that again, they can be fine. We'll see. But I don't think a vocal minority of social media fans that no matter what will treat Huggins as God and will always want him there and feel like everyone did him wrong are going to be what hurts this program really in the long run, on a serious tip. And I don't think Ren Baker's staying up at night worrying about keyboard warriors, what people are commenting on WV Sports Now, what is on social media. I don't. The only thing I will give you as a series, and I told you this off the air, I'll give it now without necessarily giving full names. I know for a fact, you know, I talk to donors. Part of what I believe spurned these comments from donors on, and Ike Morris did rebut what Ken Kendrick said, there was a meeting months ago between donors, I know it for a fact, where they did discuss how do we fix the perception of we're not going to have Huggins, but whatever happens here, regardless of our opinions, and they were divided. Some wanted him, some did not. We just now understand there's no more Huggins. We don't want fans to, no matter what goes on, to always be yelling for Huggins. How do we fix that? And I was told they did decide to.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Pretty much, quote-unquote, torch it. Which I think Ken Kendrick kind of did with his comments there, and he's the one with his name on the stadium, the other donor's not. So Huggins isn't going to coach at WVU anymore. Even if he coaches anywhere, it won't be WVU. But I don't think the vocal minority that will forever want him and feel he was wronged and the victim, even though it's his own actions, are going to be a true problem. No.
Okay. Hey, that's a great, well-thought-out response, Mike. I appreciate that. Tell the folks what you've got coming up, and I'll let you get out of here.
Sure, man. WV Sports Now on socials, on the site. It's just a constant coaching carousel there. But, of course, we got football season underway. Still about a week until spring practice fully. But Neil Brown coming up at the end of this week. It'll be his first presser in months. since the Mayo Bowl, I believe. A lot of new coaches there as well, even though they're on the minor part of the staff. So we will see a lot more in that direction. Some position group previews coming up, and then of course Mic Drop everywhere you get your podcasts: Apple, Google Play, Spotify, etc. I actually had a recent conversation with a former coach and QB. He actually was the interim head coach of Colorado before Dion, longtime coordinator in college football at Notre Dame, Minnesota, etc. He came on to give his true analysis of what he thinks of Russell Wilson, what he can give in the future, what he was in Denver. He's now in Denver Media. So that's a fantastic show. That's the last uploaded on the Mic Drop channel. Talk with him and Mike Sanford. So that's something to right now look for, and then follow the channel and follow the feed for the next show.
Very good. Mike, appreciate it, man. We will talk with you soon.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.